Hello, and welcome to the latest Control Risk podcast, where today our focus is on the growing risk posed by the Ebola virus. I'm Eben Kaplan, and I'm joined by Dr. Robert Quigley of International SOS, Control Risk's partner in providing travel security services. Dr. Quigley, at the moment, the Ebola virus is largely confined to a handful of West African nations, countries that, among other things, have become popular with international mining companies. What kinds of precautions should businesses with personnel in the region be taking?
Well, good morning, Evan. I think that first and foremost, companies need to take a step back and decide what are going to be their policies with regards to deploying workers to that part of the world. If it's essential travel, if these are essential positions held by expatriates, they better be very sure that they have in place proper pre-travel, pre-deployment education practices. The reason I'm saying that is, to your point, there are many organizations in the energy mine infrastructure sector who have not the freedom or the luxury of being able to shut down operations. And even if they're not in one of the big three Western countries, i.e. Guinea, Liberia, or Sierra Leone, they may be working in neighboring countries. They may be recruiting local nationals to work with them. Even if they are not, the borders are so porous in that part of the world that there is a significant likelihood that there will be some exposure at some level. And so all the prospective employees, both foreign nationals and local nationals, need to be at the very least educated as to best practices to mitigate the risk of getting this disease.
So you mentioned the porous borders, and it's a question that has concerned a lot of people watching the Ebola outbreak from afar. Do you think that the virus will spread beyond where it currently is in West Africa? And if so, how far will it make it off the African continent and into Western countries?
Well, let's just take that question and dissect it a bit, Evan. We know that the disease was initially confined to the aforementioned three West African countries. It didn't take long before Nigeria, all of a sudden, was included in that collection of countries. And the reason Nigeria became involved was that, believe it or not, there was a healthcare provider who was being treated in one of the aforementioned Western African countries, who decided to leave a quarantine to which he had been assigned, return to Nigeria, and specifically to Harcourt, which is a business hub, and continue to practice medicine before he became symptomatic and had to stop. In the course of that event, he was able to single-handedly expose vast numbers of colleagues and patients alike to the disease, and all of a sudden we had a significant outbreak in Harcourt. So as simple as that was, it can cross borders throughout all of the neighboring countries in Africa. With regards to your question, Evan, about it getting outside the African continent, yes, that's possible. Certainly with the ease of travel today, it is possible that somebody could enter into a developed country who was infected but not yet showing symptoms and develop symptoms suddenly. My thoughts on that are the following. I think that the Western countries have such sophisticated measures of managing contagious infectious diseases, be it through quarantine, be it through education, be it through resources, that the likelihood of a single case appearing in a Western country propagating throughout any community is for all intents and purposes negligible.
So that brings up another interesting question about stopping the spread. You mentioned that there are sophisticated measures in Western countries, and now Western countries are focusing more resources on Africa itself. How effective will international efforts be to stem the spread of the virus?
Well, as you know, WHO, the United Nations, the Médecins Sans Frontières, all of these organizations have been playing a role. CDC is actively involved in that, and they're trying to align themselves in terms of best practices. And most recently, as I'm sure your audience knows, the White House has made a commitment to send over many assets, including personnel and equipment, to help contain the spread of this disease. And I applaud all of these organizations, and we've worked with all of them. In fact, at International SOS, we've actually provided for many of the aforementioned agencies educational tools that they can use to help educate the local nationals. Although I applaud these organizations, and particularly the recent efforts of the White House, this is a disease that's been endemic in this part of the world for many, many years. And a lot of it's based on cultural practices, such as eating bushmeat, funeral practices, whereby families will frequently touch and expose themselves to dying relatives. And unfortunately, this disease can be spread by that means. So all of these efforts that these agencies are making sort of try and contain and battle the disease, much of the focus needs to be on educating the local nationals with regards to universal health precautions, best practices to mitigate the spread.
Going back to the business perspective, even if the worst doesn't occur, companies need to be prepared for contingencies. So I think a lot of companies are asking what sorts of measures they should be considering to assure business continuity in the event that the outbreak spreads. What sort of things should they be putting in place?
Well, I would hope that most corporations have a business continuity in place. And I always tell people that, you know, most companies in the spirit of their duty of care have a crisis management plan, and that would include addressing physical infrastructure threats or hardware, software, breaching, personal security. And they should also have a health incident plan, and many of them do. And I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with a pandemic plan, which was a result of that most recent pandemic, which educated a lot of organizations into the idea that they need to have an influenza pandemic plan available. Unfortunately, Evan, a lot of them have kind of put that plan on the shelf. It needs to be constantly updated. And ironically, it could be used as a template to develop other infectious disease plans, such as addressing Ebola. And although there are differences between the two diseases, specifically in how it's transmitted, the idea of having a pandemic plan as something to start with would be a good tool for organizations to use to develop their own Ebola plan. And I think those really proactive companies are going even beyond Ebola. They're looking at MERS-CoA, which is, as you know, is getting a lot of press in the Middle East, and other common infectious diseases. So it goes way beyond a pandemic plan. It goes way beyond an Ebola plan. Companies need to have infectious disease plans in place. And they need to start being much more proactive about the way they put these plans together. And those plans are going to include all sorts of different policies in terms of, you know, how do we provide our folks with personal protective equipment? What protocols do we have in place if we think there's somebody in the workplace who may have been exposed? Do we have access to healthcare providers with expertise that can counsel us on site? What is going to be our trigger, if you like? I'm speaking as if I was a company. Our trigger of when we're going to evacuate large groups of people if we think there's a threat in the disease, and how is that going to impact our productivity or our revenue generation? So all of this needs to be brought to the attention of the C-suite, and the C-suite needs to give out those marching orders to those stakeholders that would be responsible for putting together effective infectious disease plans, or to use your synonym, business continuity plans.
Dr. Quigley, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure, Evan. Have a good day.
I've been speaking with Dr. Robert Quigley of International SOS, Control Risk's partner in providing travel security services. I'm Evan Kaplan. Until next time, so long.